Good morning, Lake Bee. If you don't know who I am, if you're new to this place, my name is Paul. I'm actually on staff here. I don't often claim that, but I am a Paris associate here, volunteer staff, as it were. My day job is at Seattle Pacific University as the Minister of Church and Community Connections. And if you don't know what that means, neither do I. We're still trying to figure that out. All I know is I'm supposed to talk to churches. Carol and I and our two kids have made our home, spiritual home here for the last, I think, 5 years or so, 5-6 years. So it's been a blessing to be part of this community. And I'm so glad that Pastor Lena shared a little bit about the prayers of those who are in different spaces in life. I've often believed, and I know this to be true, that it is the prayers of my grandmother that carried me through a lot in life. It is the prayers of those who are not worried about the things that younger folks are worried about that carry us through those things. If you come from a culture that honors elders, you know that to be true, that it is often the elders of the community that really, through their presence and spirituality and their prayers, carry the generations that come after them. So to all the folks who are in different places in life's journey, thank you. This passage this morning, I'm just going to get to it because we have communion today, and I know some people may be thinking about other things that happen at 3:30. The passage this morning is a section of the Gospel of Matthew of Jesus' sermon that's often called the Sermon on the Mount. And the section that we are reading in that sermon is what is often called the Beatitudes. And I grew up in the church and we all talked about the Beatitudes, but what are the Beatitudes? Literally, the Beatitudes just mean blessedness, blessing. So I'm like, why can't we call it blessing? They all got to make it complicated in our spirituality, in our faith. Can I make a confession that when Pastor Lena asked me to preach today, I didn't know that this would be the passage that I'd be assigned. This is one of those passages that I dread preaching. Why? Because it's one of those popular passages that has been preached for the last 2,000 years. I'm like, what more can be said about it? Isn't it enough that it's actually Jesus who preached the sermon? So it's like, what more can I say about it? Here we are. So here's what I'm hoping this morning, that we would find that indeed God's mercies are new every morning. And so too this morning, that we would approach this all too familiar passage with a little bit of flexibility, with a little bit of wonderment. So let's go to it. Why don't we pray? Let's pray. Lord, indeed your mercies are new every morning, and as the sun shines through the windows, would you make your presence known in this place? That the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you. So God, would you indeed move in this place? Amen. Let's read this passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Listen for the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of the Lord. This passage begins with some narrative details. And before we get to the actual words of Jesus' sermon, the blesseds, the beatitudes, I'd like for us to pause here for a moment and talk about some of the narrative details in our passage. And I want to talk about three things: the crowds, the disciples, and the mountain. The crowds, the disciples, and the mountain. The crowds. Who are the crowds in verse 1? You see, when we read scripture, sometimes we just kind of gloss over those details, and I do too. But it occurred to me, I wonder who those crowds are that caused Jesus to ascend up to the mountains. If we read the verses that come immediately before ours this morning, we get a sense of who these crowds are. So I'm going to read for you a few of the verses that come before our passage in chapter 4. It reads like this: Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Decapolis, by the way, is a name given to kind of this consortium of different cities, like 10, Decapolis, 10 cities. So the crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. These crowds were formed because of Jesus' growing fame, because of his healing of those who are afflicted with various diseases, right? Demoniacs, those possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them all, and his fame began to grow. And so what we understand as this description talks about is that the crowds were full of what I think, if we were to venture to guess, those who were needing healing, those who are demoniacs, those who are epileptic, those who are bleeding, those who are sick, those who have been healed and now have seen Jesus, and even, I think, just the curious, right? We know enough about the ancient world and how it worked that we can safely assume that these sick and suffering were those who are marginalized and demonized. So the crowds, think about this. So the crowds in our verse, as they're gathering around Jesus, all these people who are sick, dying, healed, curious, those who are marginalized and demonized, okay? Keep that in the back of your mind. So these crowds gather, and Jesus goes up to the mountain, and he turns to the disciples at that point. And so what do we know about these disciples? And it may be the 12, it may be a number of others. But one thing that we can know about the disciples is that as they're watching this happen, they know who are in the crowds, right? They know that the crowds are full of these people. And it's critically important for us to understand that in our passage, the crowds, the marginalized, the sick, the afflicted, were there as Jesus went up the mountains, and as he turned to his disciples to teach them. Because that is the background, and the disciples know it. Now, at this point, when he goes up to the mountain, he turns to the disciples, okay? Before we get to the actual sermon part of Jesus. And I want you to hold on to that, too. So we know the crowds and who they may be and what their makeup is. We of course know about the disciples, but right now what we know also is that the disciples know who the crowds are, and we also know that at this point in our story, Jesus turns from the crowds to the disciples, okay? Hold on to that. Okay, now about the mountain. What about the mountain? Matthew, by employing this kind of narrative detail in this passage, Matthew is alluding to something else. Did you catch it? Does this story remind you of something else? The story of a prophet that goes up the mountains, comes back with something to say, phrases. Does it remind you? Who does it remind you of? Moses, thank you, good. It's no coincidence that Matthew includes this detail. He is inviting his readers to recall the Moses story, where Moses ascends the mountain, and then he comes back to produce what? What did God say in the mountains? What do we know them as? The Ten Commandments, yes. Of course, most people know that a few of the commandments, if not all of them. And basically, the Ten Commandments is a list of prescriptive moral codes and commandments, right? Thou shalt not. You shall not. You shall not do this. You shall not do this. Do this. Do this, right? So it's prescriptive. It says, do something. It's telling you, y'all do this, or y'all don't do this, okay? That's why they're commandments, right? Ten commandments. So Matthew is including this, I think, in this detail of Jesus going up to the mountains to teach his disciples, to clue in the reader and us, that he's saying, recall this other story of the prescriptive Ten Commandments, of Moses going up to the mountains, listening to God, and having a word to say to his people. Okay? In the same way, Jesus is going up to the mountains, and now as he turns to his disciples, he has a word to say to the disciples. Now, in the next part of our passage, so we have the crowds, the disciples, and the mountain. Okay? We're going to go on to the actual sermon text of Jesus. In the next part of our passage, we get to the Beatitudes. Again, the Beatitudes literally mean blessedness, blessing. And he says this, blessed are those, right? Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. Jesus begins to say that the blessed are those that blank, right? Fill in the blank. And he says this 9 times. Blessed are those, I'm sorry, 8 times. Blessed are those that are meek. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those that. Now, for most of my life, and this may be true for you, I have read these Beatitudes in a certain way. If those that are meek are blessed, I too should be meek. If those that mourn are blessed, I too will be blessed when I mourn. If those that are merciful will also receive mercy, then I too should practice mercy. In other words, like the Ten Commandments conveyed through Moses, I have for 99.9% of my life read these Beatitudes as prescriptive commandments, that I should act in these ways. In other words, I have taken these Beatitudes to say, you shall, or you shall not, okay? But stretch with me, come with me on this journey. I know I'm getting a little heady here, but stretch with me a little bit and consider these Beatitudes not as prescriptive commandments, but descriptive of those who are blessed. I hear a little, Follow with me. Read these Beatitudes not as prescriptive commandments, but as descriptions of those who are blessed. Because we don't see y'all be meek. Y'all hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says, blessed are those. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. So as have this picture in your mind. The crowds have gathered. Jesus goes up the mountain and he turns to his disciples and says, and remember who are the crowds? Turns to his disciples, the crowds are behind me. Turns to his disciples, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those that are meek. Blessed are those that are merciful. Blessed are those. Do you see what's happening here? Whereas in the Ten Commandments, there are prescriptions for how we should live. You shall do this. You shall do that. Here, Jesus describes those who are blessed. Not you who are blessed, but those who are blessed are these things. Jesus is not telling you to be poor in spirit or to mourn or to be persecuted as if those are the things that we should aspire to. Jesus doesn't want that for us. Rather, he is saying that in those conditions, those people are blessed because God is with them. Who then are the blessed? By Jesus' description, it doesn't seem that the blessed are those for whom all things are going right. But they are the destitute, the persecuted, the suffering, the marginalized. We often think in our culture, if all things are going well, I am blessed. And certainly you are. But in this passage, Jesus is describing a different situation. He is turning things upside down and saying, actually, the blessed, the blessing of God is located not when things are going well, not with the powerful, not with the rich, but with the marginalized, those who are suffering, those who are sick. There you will find God's blessing. Blessing is not in what we can do for ourselves, what power we can gather, the money we have, what the rules we follow, or how good we have it. And therefore, blessedness is not centered on us. That's why he's not saying, you shall do this. He's saying, blessed are those. Blessed are those. God's blessing is with those for whom their condition, their situation causes suffering, and with those for whom their orientation is towards shalom. To say it another way is that blessedness is not at the centers, but at the margins. God, in other words, is for the marginalized. Do you hear me, friends? It's not the Ten Commandments. And so Jesus is drawing this distinction. Whereas before you heard the Ten Commandments, and you should hear them and you should follow them, but those are things you should do. Now Jesus is saying, but in this day, with my presence, with my sacrifice, I am letting you know that the blessing of God doesn't rely on following those Ten Commandments. Those are things you should just do. But blessing is with those that are sick and marginalized. Those that are in the margins of society. So let me ask you this. Who are the blessed in our community? I'm skipping ahead too far. Jesus does a funny thing in the Beatitudes. Read the sermon again. Last time I preached, Pastor Lena says she fact-checked me. I think it was over social media, so now the world knows. I appreciate that. It keeps me in check. If you want to fact check this, do it. But Jesus does a funny thing. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. Eight times. By the ninth time, Jesus says something different. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. When people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you. He got done. The crowds, marginalized community, the disciples. Blessed are those, times eight. Now, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Why the shift? Why did he go from blessed are those to blessed are you? I think the disciples were asking the same questions we might be asking today. Okay, so those are the blessed. Can we be a blessed people too? Perhaps the most important phrase in this part, in this verse, is when Jesus says, on my account. If blessing is located with the people for whom suffering, oppression, marginalization is a present reality, then the question is whether we are willing to go to those places on account of following Jesus. On my account, on the account of Jesus. I believe blessing is from God, and if those who are blessed are those who are decentered, and if God's blessing is evidence of God's presence, then the question for the church and for us, Lake B, is whether we are willing to go to those places on Jesus' account, to follow the incarnational Jesus to those places where God's blessing is. If we want to be a blessed community, we got to go to those places where God is moving. Jesus is turning upside down the idea of blessedness to center on those who are marginalized and those who are working for shalom. By the time he gets to this last beatitude, the question that he raises is whether we too, the people of God, will work on his account towards shalom and justice. Whether we will go to those places of blessing is the question for us. Lake B, are we willing? Are we willing to go where God's blessing rests in our community and in our world today? So the question for us is, where are those places of God's blessing? Is God's presence and blessing with the homeless? Is God also incarcerated with the children? Does God's blessing go back and forth across the borders? Does God's blessing exist in the city of Wuhan or the state of Wuhan? Where is God's blessing today? And are we willing, Lake B, to go to those places where we will find God's blessing? And in that, we will find our blessedness. You too, blessed are you when people revile you. Because the thing is, when as a church, we believe in Jesus Christ so much and that we are willing to go to those places, people will revile us. People will go, that's strange, Lake B. I don't get that. Why should you be talking in this fear, Lake B? Be quiet. People, systems, governments will revile us, persecute us, and utter all kinds of evil against us falsely because we are working on account of Jesus, because we are practicing that incarnational ministry of Jesus by going to those places. Not the mountaintops, but the valleys. If we want to be a community that is blessed, we will find ourselves being reviled and persecuted and talked of badly because we are following Jesus to those places, not because we are not. And that's the cost of discipleship. That when we move with God and God leads us to those places, we will find our own hardships. It will be hard and it will be scary. But rejoice and be glad because the prophets have gone before you, and great is your reward in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, would you continue to move and move us to those places? Lord, we want to be a community that is blessed, and what it means is that we have to follow you to those places. But there we will find that we can also be a blessing because of the witness that we are in our world. Lord, would you go with us? Lord, help us to follow. Give us strength for today. Hope for tomorrow. That every morning we will find that we are with you and that your mercies are indeed new every morning. So, Lord, as you're asking us to move, help us to move with you. And indeed, may the fires of revival be present in this place. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I will not be fact-checking. Thank you, Paul, for just being so faithful to bring a word that is really good. Thank you. Can I invite those that are going to, Steve and Melinda, you want to come up?